book of Joshua, he's called a soothsayer, but he is a real prophet. God spoke through him. That's what a prophet is. So, you know, I always thought he was a false prophet. He wasn't a false prophet. He was a corrupt prophet, but he was a real prophet. And think about that. I'm going to go there too. So go to Numbers 22 if you can. We'll go to Numbers. We'll actually park there for a minute. And to think about this, like, he was an actual prophet, this guy. If you study this stuff, it's like amazing when you see, because it's convicting, right? You know, as a young Christian, I'd just be like, I can't believe, how could the children of Israel do all that after they seen what God, and then I sin 10 minutes later. Oops. And I'm like, oh, I have the Holy Spirit in me, and I'm doing it. So, you know, it's crazy. Numbers 22. This now, Balaam and Balak. Balak was feeling intimidated by Israel's growth in the wilderness, and he pretty much was just shaking in his boots. So he calls Balaam, which he had known, and we'll read here, that has a blessing upon his life. We don't really know much of his life until you get here in Numbers. And he knew that he could, he had a way with blessing, cursing people, whatever. And he sent his men, because he was a wealthy man, to bring a certain you know, material. Well, I don't know. It'll say it here. Let's let the word speak. 22. Numbers 22. So starting here, 5. He sent messengers, therefore, to Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river in the land of the children of his people, and called him, saying, behold, there is people come out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure that I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. And I wot that he whom thou blessed is blessed, and he whom thou curse is cursed. And just so you know, wot, that is an archaic word. It just means to know, or I'm aware of. So he's aware of, or he knows, that whoever he blesses, they're blessed, or whoever he curses, they're cursed. So he prophesies, you know, he speaks, and it comes true. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed and with the rewards of divination in their hand, and came into Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. So these guys come to him because they see something special upon his life. Think about this, all right? I'm just saying, this is how he spoke to me when I read this. And listen to what they said. So he said unto them, lodge here. This is Balaam spoke to the men that came to him. Lodge here, and I will bring you a word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the prince of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came to Balaam and said, so the Lord came to him. He was a real prophet. What men are these with thee? And Balaam said, Balak, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said to Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Keep that in mind. That's a 3-point message that he just gave Balaam. What does he do? And the prince of Moab rose up. They went into Balak. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I skipped the important verse here. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the prince of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord had refuseth to give me leave to go with you. What did he just do? He preached 1 point. He lied. He was deceitful. I've been studying this, and since I've ever heard, you know, when God was angry with Balaam for going, right? Didn't he tell him to go? He's like, oh, yeah, you can go. But if you read it carefully, why God was so mad with Balaam is if you read it here, listen, if you keep going with me. And the prince of Moab rose up and went into Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. You see how the message got passed all the way down to him, and now it's distorted? First, it was, you cannot go with them, one. They are a blessed people, two. You know, and then the third one is, no, you can't curse them, and then they are a blessed people. Yeah, he gives them 3 points. He comes and says, you guys got to go. God won't let me go with you. He only preached the first point. Why did he do that? Do you know that if he told them, listen, the Lord came to me, and he says, I can't go with you. Oh, and by the way, I can't curse these people. Oh, and number three, they're a blessed people. He blessed them. They would turn around and go, and that's it. No rewards, no money, no nothing. Think about that for a minute. I think that's, in my opinion, if you read Revelations 2, the doctrine of Balaam, I think that the doctrine of Balaam has to touch with the sense of a compromise of truth in the pulpits for money, because they know if they preach on certain things, people leave. No tithe. You see it in the charismatic, and you see it in the word of faith, they call it, right? You know, they just sow your seed or do this or whatever, you know. And I'm not bashing them. My Pentecostals, I know, love the Lord. I have still have friends that are Pentecostal. But, you know, there's some, you'll see some guys driving up in Bentleys to get out and whatever you call it, preach or tickle ears. So to think that he had a message to give, and if he had spoken the whole thing. So if you continue reading this, go home and read it at yourself. You know, God eventually spoke one of the greatest prophecies through him of the Son of God coming and of Israel's future blessing. You know, and this is where the Lord has really dealt with me in this. You know, it's so easy when we're around people to compromise the truth of God. You know, listen, you know that we're going to see every single person that we're in contact with one day, whether you know it or not. Every person you'll ever see, you ever like meet somebody and you guys rub the wrong way and you guys didn't click and they weren't part of your crew and whatever. And you're like, oh, I just wish I never saw them again, whatever. And then they're out of your life and it's all over. You'll see them. There's the white throne. You'll be there. You'll be there. I'll be there. God broke me in Revelations one night. I'll never forget. I read that. And then the dead and the small, great and small, stood before the white throne judgment. You think about that. Just think about that. You'll have to stare at everyone you've ever known. You'll have to stare at your family members. Hell is real, and it's eternal. It's not annihilation. That's a heresy. You will burn if you're not saved forever, because God's love is forever. So is his wrath. So is his wrath. And that's why, as Pastor says time and time and time, we get familiar with it, right? Pastor always says, you know, we're here for the lost, right? We're here. God has left us here. But don't get familiar with that, because we are here for the lost. We're here for each other too, right? Our first priority should be the church, right? That's why we come in, we worship together, we encourage one another, we bring money here, right, to support the church, to support one another, our missionaries, right? And then we go out. This is a training ground. It shouldn't be a recreation hall. There's an old Christian song I sing sometimes. It's like, I forgot how, trying to sing, but I heard it and I'll never forget it. And it says, this a battlefield, brother, not a recreation hall. It's a fighting, not a game. Anyone ever hear that? Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm going to try to get up because I didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation hall. It's a fighting, not a game. I heard that and I was like, woo. It was in a Baptist church. I heard that. Okay, so you want to hear the good ones. You got to go, yeah. It wasn't dry either. I know they get that way today. But, you know, to think about that, you know. Job 32:21-22 says, let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto men. For I know not to give flattering titles. In so doing, my maker would soon take me away. There we go again. He was a righteous guy, if there ever was one. I learned from Job a lot. He had self-righteous issues. That was between him and the Lord. But when it came to a moral character thing, he was flawless. He was flawless. That guy is my hero when it comes to morality. You read some of the stuff, it's like, wow, I'm dead. I had a woman, I don't know why I would say that. I had a woman at one of Joanne, my mother-in-law, I was doing Bible studies at her house. One of her Catholic friends came. And we were going over Matthew and just talking about the Lord. And I brought out the adultery thing. I said, you know, because they know, the Catholics know. I mean, you don't have to tell a Catholic to repent. They just need to trust. They need to put their faith in the finished work, most of them. And, you know, she goes, you know, adultery is wrong. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I said, well, you know, Jesus says, if you look upon a woman and lust after her in your heart, you've already committed adultery. And she goes out loud in front of all the women, I'm dead. And I was like, yeah, see the word? Separates the light and darkness. That's it. We got to trust the word. The word of God is what separates. We can't try to, you know, convict people in our own understanding, but it's got to be the word of God. And use wisdom with it. You can have fun with it. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-12, and we'll probably end here. So this has to do with the end of the church age into the tribulation period. And so I'm going to start in verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. And here the context is talking about the Antichrist, which will eventually be Satan in the flesh. With all power and signs and lying wonders. That's why I'm not big on the whole, you know, signs and wonders stuff. God can do signs and wonders, but so can Satan. You know, I had a pastor talk bragging about how God flipped him like a pancake in that Toronto blessing thing, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know about that. I'm like, here you go, here's some maple syrup, I'm out of here. Whatever. That's between him and the Lord. Just saying. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth. That's true today. People not only reject God, they reject any truth today. They just don't want to hear it. That they might be saved. That's why it's there. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know, from the scripture here, the Lord had spoken to me the other day about this, and he's saying here that it's a, you know, truth is safe. I'm going to say this. I didn't really say it before, but like there's a psalm. I don't know the address, but I know the scripture. It says that you have magnified thy word above thy own name. It's in Psalm somewhere. There's 150. Pick one. You have magnified your word above your own name. You know what God's saying there? He cares more about his truth than anything else. Think about that. Without truth, there is no final authority. There is, you can't be free. You can't get saved. It needs to be truth. There needs to be absolute truth. He is magnifying his word above his own name. I was thinking about that in the car ride over, about God's very, men can relate to God in one way as women can relate to God in another, but men can really relate to God. He's very objective. Like men, we're very right to the point that it is what it is, right? And God's that way. God cares about his truth. Here's a good example. That's like, you know, my wife may say, we got to go to the grocery store. I'd be like, okay, we're going to the grocery store. You know, I might do 85 and a 45 there or cut a, you know what I mean? Swerve in a lane, but we'll get there, right? You see what I'm saying? And she's like, whoa, we can't go. We got to. I'm like, what do you mean? You just said we have to go. No, you can't go like that, right? But no, we're going. We're going to get there. And that's how God is. His truth is more important than our emotions, our sentimentality, what people think. Yeah, it might be rude, but it's the truth, right? Of course, I'm just trying to throw that out there. That's at the end of the day, right? At the end of the day, the truth will stand. The truth will stand. There's truth. And that's what the Lord put on my heart. And it's safe for us because why? Look at this. He's sending a delusion. He will send a delusion. You will get caught in a trap if you reject the truth. Why? You reject the truth, you have nothing left but a lie. You have nothing left but a lie. You have opened yourself up to full-blown deception. And now, God may prevent you. He give you repentance to the acknowledging of it, right? That's if he does. How long will he let you go in deception? I've been deceived. I have. Ask Pastor Moore, he'll tell you. I tried casting devils out of him one day. It was crazy. He just hugged me, loved me. That guy's a nutcase. How long will he let you go? I don't know. But look, because he will send a delusion. You ever hear about in the Old Testament about the prophet who God told him not to stop in the village and eat, and he ended up going, and there was another guy who says, hey, I'm a prophet too. Hey, come eat with me. I don't know I don't know the address. I just read it. And he's like, no, God told me I can't eat here. He's like, no, God told me different things. It's all right. Things are changing. And he's like, really? He's like, yeah, come on over. So he goes over and he eats and he's like, oh, I tricked you. You guys know this story, right? And what happens? Yomp. Get ate by a lion. You know, I heard this from a commentator the other day and he put it like this. He's like, God didn't just send a lion because he disobeyed him. God knew a lion would be there. And if he listened to me the first time, he would have never got ate. Think about it like that. And it helps you understand God in a better way. God does things for a reason. And we don't always need an explanation. If he says it, it's there for, just trust him. That's it. Now, I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm preaching tonight, so I'm going to preach it. But you got to trust him, because if you don't, you open yourself up to deception. You open yourself up to our enemy as like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, right? He doesn't have any real teeth, but he'll nip. No, he's, I wouldn't, I'm not trying to mock Satan. He's a very intelligent, strong being, and that's why we need to submit to God. You submit to God, you ain't got to worry about him. But so that we would really, we would receive truth, and that we would speak the truth, you know, and that's why, I try to purpose myself to really learn and be a lover of truth. That's the one thing my old pastor used to say about me all the time. Like, we would never agree on a lot of things sometimes, but you know, he would always say, he loves truth, you know, like, sent me out of his church, you know, then I love the guy. I love my old church, but it's just not the truth there. And that's what we have to. We have to love the truth, love people, but we have to love truth more than people. You know, Jesus gave some pretty challenging, he told his disciples some things that I wouldn't say over the, you know, turkey dinner with your family-in-law. Like, any man that hates not his mother, daughter, son, you know, that's not something to bring out in prayer. You know, preach prayer or something like that. I wouldn't say that. I've said it to my mother-in-law once. Stop! She gets all upset. I have fun with Joanna, the poor woman. Yeah, I'm rough. Like, I don't know if I told you guys, before she was saved and she was all in there Catholic and stuff, and we got into it one day, and I just snapped. I'm like, you serve Satan. I told her straight up. And she was like, ah! I told her right to her face, you serve Satan. Don't get out of me with that God stuff. You don't know God. Anyway, she does today, and God had a lot of mercy and grace there. I believe she's saved, you know. We can only believe. You don't even know if I'm saved, right? The Lord knows those that are his, right? How do you know what I'm saying is truth? Seriously. That's what I'm saying. How do you know I'm not a false prophet? I'm up here just, you know. You see what I'm saying? It's about him. It's about his will. It's about his purpose. It's about his word. At the end of the day, I could fall off, whatever. Seriously, I can go out, join the circus, leave my wife, do something. I wouldn't do that. But I'm saying I could fall away, and you guys still have the book, right? You guys still have the Holy Spirit. You guys still have the word. That's what matters, and that's what our drive should be, is God's truth, and that we wouldn't cut anybody shy of it, especially when it comes to the hard things. You know, I tell people, listen, when it comes to certain places in the world, and I'm only got a couple minutes here, but I really got to say this. When it comes to places in third world countries or people that have been really battered down and beat up, right? People whose hearts are tender, like the Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved, right? I mean, that guy, repentance was wrought in his heart. His heart was tender. He was open to God. Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou and thy house shall be saved. Listen, the generation in America you're dealing with are narcissistic to the core. You tell a person today God loves them. Oh, I know God loves me. Yeah, he's effing awesome. Oh, you know, I'm serious. They need to hear, they need to get right with God. They need to repent. That's not getting your life straight. That's in your heart surrendering to the righteousness of God, willing to turn from any darkness that's keeping you from the truth. They need to surrender. They do. The Apostle Paul, when he was exhorting the elders in Acts 20, says that I have not shunned the full counsel of God. He says, I preached house to house to the Greeks and the Jews, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he preached. That's what the book says. You read it from, what did the Lord Jesus says in Mark chapter 1? He says, the kingdom of God is fulfilled or is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. It's the word of God says it. I didn't write it. And this is why we have false conversions in the church today. The Bema will expose it. Father, I thank you for this word. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, minister to each one of us in a special way, applying it, Lord, to our lives, helping us to walk in the fruit of it, Lord, that it would bear fruit, Lord. I just pray for your people tonight, and that we would grow, Lord, in a unity of the Spirit, Lord, where your truth is. The Spirit, Lord, the Spirit of truth is what you said to your disciples. He shall guide you into all truth. My peace I give you, not as the world gives. There's worldly peace, it's temporal, but my peace. The world can't take it. Father, I thank you for this word and privilege. I bless it in Jesus' name. Amen.
There you go. Gee, Rob, you forgot the sugar coating.